Nothing else I have to push or anything?
Nope.
I really appreciate the chance to talk tonight, especially since you heard Kirk this morning, and we're on the TV show together, and when people sometimes wonder, maybe perhaps when they hear an announcement made that they should pray for the TV show, Kurt and I are on the TV show, and he's the one who delivers the meat, and I'm the one who's there to play the role of Peter and ask all the obvious questions, because oftentimes I do, and I'm very exuberant about it, and, you know, if you need to pray for anything, maybe you should pray for me, because I'm always afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing, because I get very excited, and I talk really fast, and, you know, I ask these questions, and sometimes it's contagious. I get Kurt going, and he gets excited, and somewhere along the way, I suddenly think, if I was watching this at home, I don't know what I would think about these two lunatics. So certainly, I do appreciate the chance to preach on the same day that Kurt did, because now you can see what handicap he has to work with on the TV show. I read a lot of books, and I read a book not long ago. Of all things, it was a humor writer who was writing about, it's a book called Here's Looking at You Kids, with the S on, plural on the kids. And he was writing about the strange love affair that mom and dads have once children arrive in a marriage, how everything changes and everything. And he made a very interesting observation. In this funny book, he actually steps aside out of the book and makes an observation which I thought was great sermon material, which was, he himself does not believe that he is worthy of God's focus. He says, God probably doesn't really care about me, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. We could debate that. But what he says next is very interesting. What he says is, I have these two children, though, who are God's minions, and they're watching me. And so when I walk into a room, it would not be appropriate for me to swear, for me to ride down the government, to belittle mom. Because in life, at least right now, I'm the dad, and I'm in the starring role. And it would be wrong for me to, stumble and fall. So if not for his sake, at least for his kid's sake, he has this, this very poignant, interesting observation on life. And I really like that, because I have children at home. And I say children because I do have children at home. If this lesson was called anything, if you remember Brent's sermon a year ago, he preached about the movie It's a Wonderful Life. My sermon tonight would be titled, It's a Wonderful Dog's Life. I have dogs. I have four dogs. I love my dogs. I love my son, too. He's the other dog. But I do have dogs, and I think dogs are wonderful, wonderful little creatures, and I think a lot about things like dogs and other creatures in life. God has created these things, and they have a certain attitude. I mean, if you don't think dogs have personalities, you don't know dogs. I mean, they just have this way of being. They're like children, and sometimes you want to kill them and put them on a spit and turn them slowly. Other times, though, they are delightful, and sometimes you have these moments where you realize, wow, these are amazing little critters. And I want to quote a few famous people. I messed up on the credits on who said each one of these things, but here's a few things that other people, even people in the world who are not particularly religious, have said about dogs, right? For instance, one man whose dog had died said, his friends he loved. His direst earthly foes, cats, I believe he did but feign to hate. My hand will miss the insulated nose, mine eyes the tail that wagged contempt at fate. If you think about that, dogs, they just don't seem to worry about things, do they? They just, whatever, they're glad to see you. Here's another quote. My goal in life is to be as good of a person as my dog already thinks I am. I really like that. I think dogs are the most amazing creatures. They give unconditional love. For me, they are the role model for being alive. And another quote here, one reason a dog is such a lovable creature is he wags his tail instead of his tongue. I thought those were very good quotes, and something to think about when you think about dogs. We have four dogs, as I said, and we have, I tease my wife and say we actually have two dogs. We have one really big black dog, and then we have this other dog that's broken up into three little pieces, because we have these little Pomeranians, and they don't quite together make as much as the big dog. But I want to talk mostly tonight, my hero tonight is Smokey. Smokey is our big black mutt of a dog. He is half this and half that. All the rest of our dogs are purebred Pomeranians. They have champions in their family. You know, they're wonderful dogs. They have terrible attitudes, but they're wonderful dogs. But Smokey is your average run-of-the-mill, mutt-friendly, how-you-doing kind of a dog. He's a great dog. And just a word about Smokey. I had not owned a dog since I was very small, like in high school or even younger. And all these years I had no dogs, and I married my wife who came with a dog, and I had Dave, so it was an even trade-off. I had Dave, she had a dog, so I don't know who got the better deal. But one day we went to the pet store to buy dog food for our little dog, and I see this big black dog, and immediately I say, I want that dog. And my wife must have thought, what is he talking about? You know, here's this big, goofy, flat-footed dog, you know, humongous compared to our little Pomeranian. And I took the dog, and they, you know, the Humane Society was there, so it was a free dog. You had to pay for shots, but it was a free dog. And they said, take him for a trial run around the store. So I took him on his leash, and immediately, I have the leash here, and he is as far as he can get over here. I'm like, I'm not getting near this guy. Well, it turns out, I love the dog. It turns out Smokey was an abused pet. In fact, when we got him, there were literally scabs healing on top of his head and his hair of his head. So he'd been beaten by some man. And it was obvious it was a man because he was terrified of any man who came to the house, including me. But he loves women, especially my wife. He just right to them. So if the two of us were there walking, he would immediately stand right next to her. So thanks. But he was my dog. I fed him. I tried to word him over. I gave him cheese and things like that. Eventually, I won him over. But this is where he came from. So this is his background. So right away, I see a lot of comparisons. You know, he's just an average Joe. He's just an average dog. And he may not have had the best upbringing in the world. He certainly didn't have silver spoon treatment, you know. But in spite of all that, he turned out to be a great dog. You know, and we ourselves as Christians, we may think, you know, before we were Christians, we may think, I'm just evil. God will never want me. Why would God ever want me? I've done all these terrible things in my life, and I'm just terrible to look at, terrible to be around. Maybe that's what we think. But there's good in us, and God does want us. Right? And so right away, I see comparisons to this dog. And I promise I won't compare myself to a dog all night, but bear with me here. So I have three major lessons I want to talk about the dog. Three major lessons. The first lesson is that dogs are great examples of living from God. First of all, they're always glad to see you, and I have some pictures here. They're always glad to see you, and the scripture I picked for this, to talk about with this, is 1 Corinthians 16:20, which says, all the brethren greet you, greet ye one another with a holy kiss. Now, you may not remember Millie and Neil, who lived with us for a while, but this is Neil. It's kind of hard to see. This is Millie here and Neil. But that little thing in the middle that Neil is kissing on the lips, he's one of our dogs. And dogs are happy to kiss you right in the lips. They have no problem with that. You know, we're the ones who are squeamish. Right? Dogs would be like, oh, we love you. You want to kiss me on the lips? No problem. Bam. So they're always glad to see us. And that's how Christians should be. Right? We shouldn't be ashamed of each other. We should be glad to see each other. We should say, how you doing? And I know I've seen a lot of you in a lot of places. Maybe I didn't see you, and you saw me first, and I just didn't know you were there. But some of you I unfortunately saw first. Like I always remember Susan at the airport. You know, she's laughing back here. But, you know, different people, you run into them different places, and I must be like this, my big dog, because right away I'm like, how are you doing? I'm such a not New Englander, you know. and I run to people. I'm like, I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. And I'm with other people. Dave Dugas knows about this. We're at a baseball game once. I'm with all my coworkers. I'm with my interns from work. And there's Dave Dugas, and there's Jessica. And I'm like, hey, come on over. Here's my intern. Here's the people I work with. And they're like, who's this bum guy? Right? I'm like, oh, this is Dave Dugas. He's a great guy. He's from my church. He's a really nice guy, really sharp guy. Because I'm not embarrassed. Right? I'm not ashamed. And I'm really glad to see Christians anywhere I go, even if it's at the store or whatever. Hopefully, my dog is always glad to see me. Sometimes he's not glad to see me, especially when he's got his head stuck into the ground about this far because he's dug a big hole in the garden. And then when I say, Smokey, what are you doing? He's like, ooh, not glad to see me. You see, because I caught him doing something he wasn't supposed to do. But most of the time, he's glad to see me. And hopefully, that's the way we'll all be. We won't have our heads stuck somewhere, you know, in sin. We won't have our hands doing something wrong. And then when we are seen by other people, oh, I wish you hadn't seen me. You know, I hope we're always glad to see each other. So I think there's a good comparison there. I also think dogs can be a lot like a child. And my scripture here is one of the lengthier ones tonight. Matthew 18, verses 3 and following there says, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, you knew I was going to go here, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive such a one, a little one child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. I often think that about people when I think about whoever pounded on Smokey's head in the first place. I think, boy, I wish that guy was just tossed in the ocean with something around his neck. Beating on some poor animal that will love you unconditionally, and yet, I mean, it seems ridiculous to me. But it says become as little children. I think this is the not part of what we're talking about here, which is right there. This is my other dog, and he is smiling, but this is a photo of a person who was not smiling until the camera came out, because he was very unhappy and very grumpy and very unruly, and Mom said, I have had enough of you, and got the camera and said, let's take a picture so someday we can embarrass you publicly and show everybody how grumpy you are. And of course, the smile came out then, because she didn't believe it. So there's consequences here, isn't there? See, just like when you come home and there's a big hole in the yard and the dog slinks around because he's like, oh, I dug that hole. See, dogs are not dumb. They know this too, just like kids. But that's not what he's talking about here. He says, become as little children here in Matthew 18. And what he says here, he clarifies. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. My dogs don't think they're better than me. My dogs don't even think they're as good as me. They think, to them, I'm like God, right? That's how they really think of me. They're not arrogant, right? They're good and they're kind-hearted creatures. For the most part, I mean, not all dogs, I understand, but this dog is what we're talking about here. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be humble towards one another. And my dogs are a lot like that. Okay, we'll get rid of this guy here. So, I also think dogs are great examples from God because they're very happy and encouraging. My dogs are happy. I have a million pictures like this. I mean, I have to tell my wife, I went through the digital pictures we've been taking since 1999. We've bought dogs since then. We had a dog die, unfortunately, since then. We have all these pictures of these dogs. I'm looking for a picture of Smokey, the big black dog. I know we have some. I do a search by name. I search by all kinds of different things. I could only find two. Out of 25,000 digital pictures, I could only find two. But if I look for Nuisance or Wiley or Taffy, there are millions of them. I got her a brand new camera for Christmas. One of the first things she did was took a picture of her dog. So, but my dogs are happy. They love to pose. They come right over. They come right over and look right at you. They know exactly what you're doing. You get the camera out. Oh, yeah, this is great. But they're happy, and they're very encouraging. You know, you can have a terrible day at work or whatever, or just the terrible things can be happening, and they don't pester you about it. They don't come to you and say, what's wrong? What's wrong? How are you? Are you okay? What's going on? They don't do that. All they do is they come and they say, we're glad to see you. We're glad to see you. And you know, sometimes as members here, I don't know what to say. Sometimes terrible things have happened to some of the members here in the past. Since I've been here, since 1997, and things that I just don't know how to relate to, things that are just terrible have happened to them. I just don't know what to say. But you know what I will say? I'll say, I don't know what to say. I'll say that. I'll say, I don't know what to say, but I've been thinking of you, and I've been praying for you. Because if that's all I can say, that's a lot, right? And my dogs are like that. They're happy. You come in the house, and they're always glad to see you. Well, except when they dig holes in the yard. But other than that, they're always glad to see you, and they're very encouraging. And that's how we should be for each other. My dogs also have a lot of courage. Smokey does, at least. He has a lot of courage. In Deuteronomy 31, in verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. This is, I think he's talking to Joshua here. So the Lord thy God, he it is that will go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. My dogs are very brave, especially when I'm there with them. When I'm there with them, there's a noise downstairs. They run, they tell me, there's noise downstairs. In fact, my father would sometimes come when we lived in Colorado Springs. He would come to the house and drop something off. He would hear the dogs barking, but he would never see them, right? Because they were afraid. They would run upstairs and hide under the bed. But you could sure hear them barking, or, you know, under the bed. But they wouldn't come. But when I'm home, they come and they get me and they say, hey, Dad, something's wrong. Let's go see. Right? They're not afraid because you're with them. And you know, that's the way Christians ought to be. When God is with us, we should never be afraid. But if God's not with us, we better be really afraid. Right? And I think that's a lot. I think that says a lot. But it's an example of a silly dog. I also think that a great example that they have is not just courage, but confidence, right? In 1 John 2, and verse 28, it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. In other words, we should be ready for him. We should be doing what he would have us to be doing. And this goes back to where I said, my dogs are very confident when I come home and I find out they've dug a hole through the screen door or something else. They know what they've done is wrong. So, it's just like us. We, you know, oftentimes we say, well, I didn't know that was wrong. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because why are you trying to hide it? You know, that's what people often do at work. They try to hide something that they did that was wrong, and then you show it to them and they say, well, I didn't know that was wrong. Well, how could you not know that was wrong? You know, and if you didn't know it was wrong, why are you trying to cover it up? Well, I wasn't really sure, you know. Well, don't compound it. You know, don't compound it. It's better to be found waiting for the Lord and ready for the Lord than to be caught doing something wrong. Dogs are also very trusting. At least Smokey is very trusting. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 24, it says, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? My dogs, especially Smokey, seem to trust in me. They don't seem to have trust in anything else. Occasionally, they have trust in the fence. If the snow gets to be about, I have a 4-foot fence. If the snow gets to be 3 feet tall, they will sometimes come up to the fence, and they will stand there and bark at you and say, it's a good thing this fence is holding me back. Of course, Smokey is this tall, so he can step right over the fence. But he'll stand there at the edge of that 1-foot fence and like, it's a good thing this is holding me back, or I'd be all over you. You know, so they seem to have some confidence in the fence will keep them out. But really, they seem to have trust in us. Like I said, when people come and we're not home, they often try to hide. They run to the far corner of the yard. They try to get away. But when I'm home, or when Denise is home especially, they run to her or run to me, and they have trust. They think you're going to make everything okay. And that's how we ought to feel about God. We shouldn't think, you know, oh, being a Christian is so hard. There's so much I have to do. No, God will take care of us. We just need to worship him and do what he says. And it'll all work out. We should have trust. Okay, dogs are also very trainable. Here's some things with some little puppies. You see that they're not very trainable right now because they're trashing up my house. But in Proverbs 22 and verse 6 it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My dogs, they typically don't make any messes in the house. They're pretty good at that. Even when Denise is giving me this look like, Even when they're sick, though, they often will run outside because they know that there's this is inside is not the place to make a mess. And so, you know, they're very good at that. And they got trained, right? They had a certain discipline. And that's what will happen if we allow ourselves to be trained by God, right? We can be trained, and we'll stay on the right path. We'll stay out of trouble because we can be trained. And dogs are very trainable. My dogs aren't the smartest dogs in the world, especially Smokey. I mean, you can shake hands with them and stuff like that, but unless you're holding food in the other hand, he gives you this look like, you know, we're talking about. So I think we're more trainable. But sometimes I wonder if we're more trainable. Because you can show people scriptures, and you can show them what they're doing, and they read it for themselves, and they say, yes, I see what it says, yes, I see what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm not going to change. Well, my dogs never seem to do that. They're at least smarter than that. So I would think people are smarter than dogs, but they could be debatable. Another thing, and the last point I have about this, about dogs and how great examples they are from God, is that dogs are not a victim of experiences. Okay, so here's my other strange picture. The thing on this side is the dog. The thing on that side is all the hair that used to be on the dog before we gave it the haircut. Alright, dogs are not victims of their experiences. In other words, you know, Smokey was an abused dog. You could say this is dog abuse. This actually shows a lot of trust here. My dog is holding very still so mom can take those nice sharp scissors and tug her hair and cut it off. So here's this dog getting her hair tugged and tugged and tugged and tugged. But she's very trusting because she believes that the outcome is going to be good and that mom is working for her best interest. All right, that's a great demonstration of how we should be towards God. We may not understand what's going on. I'm sure my dogs, if you could talk to them somehow, would have no idea what's going on here. She's yanking my hair, and she's got these sharp things, and she's sniffing, and they don't like the sound or anything. But this dog will sit very still and trust, and will be very patient. And that's how we really should be. But Smokey, like I said, was an abused dog. He could be mean from that, and some dogs are. But he's not. He's actually a big, lovable, goofy, fairly gentle dog. I mean, he can be mean if he doesn't know who you are. But if he knows who you are, he's very gentle. And that just proves that he can be better than the way he started out. And that's just how people are, too. You know, we shouldn't be able to say, well, I grew up on the other side of the tracks, and, you know, I had this really hard life, and so you just can't expect any better from me. God does. God does. And you can do it. You can do it. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and following, it says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. I don't know anybody who's as bad as these people seem to have been, yet they could be washed. And so we meet people today who say, I'm just a victim of my experiences. In fact, the reason I am the way I am, I have short temper, is because I was just raised to have a short temper. Well, you know what? You can get over that. You can work that out. Some of these people were much worse, and they worked it out. We can do this. Okay, so here's our hero. This is our hero. A little blurry picture. Like I said, I can only find two pictures. So this is what you get. And there he is, and I'm holding him. I'm holding him very still for the camera. You probably don't know what this is. It's not whiskers. It's not whiskers on his face. But I have another lesson, a couple quick lessons here. We talk about these dogs farm down, and they're much shorter lessons. Lesson number two is that dogs have good sense. And I don't mean hearing, smelling, touching, tasting, seeing. All those other things, you know, they can sense what you feel. Our dogs are real good at this. They know when you're mad. If you get mad, you start to yell, they scatter. They hide. They say, oop, something bad's going to happen. They get out of here. If you're mad at them, they know too. They also know when you're sick. And sometimes they'll be very quiet. And they'll come up and they'll lay by you when you're sick. Very strange. Different than what I read in college when they said, oh, dogs were just these mindless creatures who had no feelings or anything. But they do. They seem to know when you're sick. They certainly know when you're sad. If you're upset, they all get upset. They worry about you. What's wrong? Are you okay? You know, they don't ask, but they commiserate, right? They gather around you. They know when you're afraid. When you're afraid, they get afraid. And if you're afraid a lot, they'll nip somebody because They don't know what to do. They're like, hey, something's wrong. They can sense this, okay? They also know when you're happy. They know joy. When you're all excited and happy, they run around and they're barking and jumping. They're very happy with you. They also know, like I said, excitement, and they also know contentment. When you want to sit back in the hammock or whatever and take a relax and snooze, they'll lay around. This is especially true of Denise. We have so many pictures of Denise. She'll be sitting there, and she'll just be, you know, resting a little bit. Maybe she has knitting needles in her hand. All the dogs, you know, like in a formation, like a battle formation around her. They're all laying there, happily asleep. Mom's happy. Everybody's happy. Everything's quiet. The world is good. They know these things. They can sense these things. Why do they sense these things? How do they do this? Because they observe you. They watch you. They know how you feel. You know, I didn't put the passage here, but, you know, there were times when other people were upset, like David said, your enemies are my enemies, God. Right? They looked to God to see how they should be feeling about things. The passage they did put down here, though, was Romans 12, verses 10 and following. Romans 12, verses 10 and following says, be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Let sleeping dogs lie. Right? As people say. You have a sleeping dog there, maybe he's a big mean junkyard dog like Karen would say. He's sleeping there, you go over there and you wake him up, you give him a good kick or whatever. That's a mistake. Right? Those dogs will turn and put the chomp on you. But if you're peaceable with them, you know, bring a little dinner bell or something, you can do a lot. But what is this passage really saying? What do we know about each other? Well, if we don't know very much, I would submit there's something wrong. Right? And how do we find out? Well, we can tell each other about each other. We can ask about each other. We can do a lot of things. Right? We can send emails to each other. We can call each other. There's so many different ways we can stay in touch. And what do we do about it? Right? What do we do about these things? This passage says, rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. Right? It also says, don't be high-minded. Right? Condescend to men of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceit. In other words, don't think you're better. Don't think you're better. Don't think, I can't be bothered with helping out Kathy Dugas, because I'm better than her. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pick on you. But, you know, don't be like that. Right? My dogs don't think like that. You know, why should we think like that? I'm not saying that's the reason why we shouldn't think that way, but it's a great example. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. Here's what we can find out. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's what we can do about it. Our dogs, my dogs, they sense all the feelings I have, and they react, right? We ought to be the same way. We should try to find out about each other. We shouldn't just say, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? You know, we all want to know. You know, how can I help you? There's something that you need. And if you have a need, I'm looking at Dave because he always gets on me about this. If you have a need, you should tell someone. You should give people an opportunity to help you. If you don't give people an opportunity to help you, you're not cheating yourself. You're cheating them. Right? We all want to help each other. And if there's something that you need that I can do something about it and you don't tell me about it, it's me you're cheating, right? More, you know, we're cheating ourselves. All right. So that's the second lesson. The third lesson here, just real quick, to wrap up tonight, is that dogs, especially Smokey, is a true friend and very loyal. All right? He is a true friend. I tell you something about Smokey. He's going deaf. Smokey can't hear anything, apparently. This is a new thing. We don't know where this started, but it's been within the last 6 months. I mean, he lays there. He's black. He lays at the top of the steps. I walk down the hall. The lights are off. Next thing you know, I almost fall down the steps, you know, because I can't see him. He can't hear me coming. Used to be, he'd get up. He doesn't do it anymore. He's laying around your feet. You got a piece of meat. You're like, hey, smoke, hey, smoke, hey, smoke, hey, smoke. He's laying there like he's gone. His feet are twitching. You know, he's dreaming about chasing rabbits or something. I don't know. But he's going deaf. But I tell you something. Even though he's going deaf, all right, he has a physical failing, he still protects me. We were almost attacked by a vicious porcupine, right? And Smokey scared that porcupine away. Of course, I had to take him to the vet and pay money to get the stupid quills pulled out of his face. But, you know, that's what he does. He also protects us from squirrels, we've noticed, if he sees one. And it's not too far away. You know, if he sees it over there, he's like, ah, whatever, you know. He's not real good on mice. He doesn't care about those. But, you know, I think about that a little bit. I think he thinks that I can probably handle the mice. It's just the big stuff that he takes care of for me. You know, stuff that I can't do for myself. But even though he's going deaf, even though he's going deaf, he still protects. And I tell you something else. Even though he's afraid, if we go out there in the dark, he'll come right with me. He'll charge right on out in the dark. He doesn't know what's out there. But if I'm with him, he says, let's go. He's not afraid. Even though he can't hear for beings, he's not afraid. I tell you something else, he still loves me. I know he can't hear me, but he'll come up to me, and he'll rub his head on me. It probably means my ears don't work, do something. But he does rub against me, and he, you know, he's very loving. He's a good dog. He's also very respected by other dogs. Our other dogs have all challenged him at least once in their lives. And he put up with it, and he put up with it, and he put up with it, and he put up with it. And finally he said, listen, chomp. And then all the dogs go, ooh, he's the big dog. So they learn from this. But even though he can't hear, they don't challenge him. They know he's the big dog, he gets special treatment, he's dad's dog. And to be fair, he shows some of our other dogs special treatment. He'll let the littlest dog eat out of his bowl. Which does not help, because you saw the pile of hair she was a while ago. That was the after picture. That big, fat, little dog is with the hair all cut off. So you see, it doesn't help her any, but he lets her eat out of his bowl. So he loves even the other dogs, and he respects the other dogs. I tell you who else respects our dogs, are the coyotes. We have coyotes, as Paula noticed the other day. We have coyotes, we hear them yipping along, and they howl at the moon and everything around our house. But they don't come into our yard. It's not just because we have tents. They don't like Smokey. He's big, he's black, he's scary, and they just figure there's easier places to go. And our little dogs would be great food for those coyotes. They look at those little dogs and say, ooh, you know, but they doesn't. He don't do it. They respect Smokey, and he protects the other dogs. He puts aside his own frustration. Even though he can't hear, I'm sure that's frustrating. It would be frustrating to me. I've lost the ability to hear. Think about it. Dogs have wonderful range of hearing and smelling and everything. And here, he's lost his ability to hear. It's like he's been crippled. Well, he has been. He can't hear. But he doesn't seem to bother him. He goes right on and protects us. And finally, he's not ashamed of me. That's huge. My dog is not ashamed of me. If I'm in a crowd of people, well, he'll go to Mom. But if Mom's not here, he'll come to me. All right? He's not ashamed of me. He'll say, that's my owner right there. That's the guy. I'm going to him. That may not seem as important as you might think. I mean, it's very subtle, but you know, think of it the way we look at God, right? Should we put aside our own frustration to serve God? Maybe I can't hear. Well, it doesn't mean I can't serve, right? Does it mean we shouldn't love God because I can't hear? Does it mean I should be ashamed of God when people bring God up? You know, I'm deaf. What can I do? I'm helpless. You know, oh, no, that's not how. That's not how we should be either. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Our dogs would do that. I think Smokey would do that. Like I said, he's not afraid. He'll go right up. He'll go right after. The little dogs think they're tough. And they're stupid. They see a big dog and they think, I can take that big dog. Big dog's just tall. Little dog's just, you know. But they don't seem to see a difference. They go right after. But Smokey, he's a little smarter. He's, you know, he's a good size. He's been around the block. Yeah, he would still, I think he would risk it all to protect, especially Mom. I don't know if he would protect me so much. He'd probably say, hey, you take care of this one. But he is good. And I tell you, he'll about go through the window when the UPS man comes. If Mom's in the house and the UPS man comes and knocks on the door, he wants to go right through the window to get him. He's very protective. But he can't hear, so doesn't stop him. Romans 1 in verse 16 says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. That scripture is meant for us to believe on what? The power of God, the gospel of Christ, and salvation. Right? To my dog, that's me. He believes that I am going to help him out. And he unerringly, unweaselingly focuses on that. And he will do what needs to be done. If he could act that way towards me, I should be able to act that way towards God. No one can stand up against God. I should be glad to be on his side. Finally here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and following says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith, unfeigned," not faith, "from which some, having swerved, have turned aside to vain janglings, designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." My dogs don't turn aside. When I'm there and I say, let's go over here, and that's where they go. You know, you can tempt them with all kinds of things. You might be able to tempt them with food, I suppose. But if they perceive a threat, they won't leave me. You know, they won't turn aside. And that's the only people who could turn us aside from God would be someone who's a threat, the devil. So we should be the same way. We should be unswerving. And we should have faith that's not fake. It shouldn't be Sunday morning Christians and weekly sinners. It should be Christians all the time. All the time. So what's my conclusion? My conclusion is real simple. I forgot to ask Adam, and he wasn't here, but I was going to ask Adam, and then I was going to ask Kurt. Kurt's leading singing, and this is a good invitation song, so don't change it. But there's a song that we sing. It's the best song in the book, right? And it's my favorite song, and I think it's Mo's favorite song, and I know it's Melissa's favorite song, and that is something to do with when the roll is called up yonder. And that's 522 in your book. And I'll tell you an interesting story. I'll tell you why this is my favorite, I'm going to get choked up like my dad here, but I'll tell you why this is my favorite song. It's my favorite song because when I first became a Christian, I was very reluctant to become a Christian because I knew that as soon as I did, I would have to start leading prayers. And I was at a church where we had about 6 or 7 men that did everything. So you did everything every service. You did something every service all the time, no matter what. When my brother became baptized, he immediately started leading singing all the time. And my dad says, "Hey, we could use more song leaders. Hey, that's not real encouraging for me to get baptized. You know, I don't want to do that. That's kind of scary." So I was very reluctant to do it. And then, just before I went to college, we had an elderly lady. Where I grew up, there were 2 families. Everyone was either related to me, or which is how it was, a very small church, or everyone was related to the Palm family. And the Palm family is still, both families still attend there, and they make up most of the church. But Grandma Palm was an interesting lady. She's the one who converted most of her family. And Grandma Palm was deaf, and blind, and crippled. And she got that way, I think she got that way through disease. I don't think it was an accident, but she could not hear, and she could not see, and she could not walk. In fact, she had, it is palsy. She couldn't really do anything. She could hardly even move. And so they wheeled her in a wheelchair, and she sat in the back, and that's what she did. And she was there, and they gave her Lord's Supper in the appropriate time. But she really couldn't hear anything that was going on. But she insisted on coming. One day, we were leading the singing. I wasn't leading the singing. My brother was leading the singing. I think, because it's been a while. It's been a long time. We get to the chorus, "When the Roll's Called Up Yonder." And we're singing along, "When the Roll's Called Up Yonder." And the song ends. And there's this woman in the back singing. And they're trying to shush her. And it was her. And she felt the vibrations to the floor. And she recognized the song. And she said it was her favorite song. And she spoke very loud because she couldn't hear herself. And she said, "That's my favorite. I will sing it until the day I die." And so we sang a couple extra verses, but we really didn't sing any verses. All she knew was the chorus. So we sang the chorus a lot. And we sang it over and over and over until she was happy. But it impressed me very much because there's this woman who insisted on coming to church, but she could not hear anything. What benefit could she get? She couldn't see anything. What benefit could she get? She couldn't walk. She couldn't even get here by herself. What benefit could that possibly be to her? Well, it benefited me. So my conclusion today, before we have our invitation song, is dogs don't go to heaven. I believe that. They have no souls. They're soulless creatures. They're wonderful creatures, but they're soulless creatures. And I have a lot of quotes from people who say, if dogs don't go to heaven, then I want to know where they go so I can go with them. Some people really like their dogs. But dogs don't go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And you know what? You can go to heaven. And dogs are great examples. Aren't you better than a dog? I mean, you have a soul, right? And you are created by the same God. The difference is that dogs seem to do a lot of what they do by nature. They are naturally loyal and true to each other. They're naturally supportive. They have families. They make their life. They are naturally wonderful creatures. Why are we not, if we're not? And why don't we make ourselves be that way? It's just one more example that God gives us of something in His creation that says, this is order, and this is good, and this is right. And if something like, something disposable, because dogs are disposable, they only live about, you know, 7 to 15 years. If something like that can come along and show us a great example, then I think it really behooves us to follow it and make our lives better. Because you know what? We are better than dogs. And we're valuable to God. And our soul is valuable. And we shouldn't throw it away by being stubborn or prideful or thinking too much of ourselves or anything else. If we have a problem with all these things, then we should think about these other creatures that God made and how close to what He would like them to be. And think to ourselves, why can't we be that way too? So if there's any way that we can assist you tonight in making your life right with God, if it's wrong in some way, if it needs improvement, if you need baptized, if you want to reaffirm, if you're living a life that is not true according to the Bible, you may say to yourself, well, it's mostly true, but it's not true all the way. Or, you know, I think it's right, or I hate to do what the Bible says because it condemns my family, or whatever reason, if there's something we can do to help you over that and make your life as it should be with God, then please signify by coming forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.